Okay, as John said, we are going to start off with an open discussion. We'd like to keep it in context of what the previous three sessions have brought into our awareness, the concepts, and most importantly, the energetics. And I know that these were very different energies that the Council of 12 brings into play here. And some are having a little difficulty getting them integrated. It just takes paying attention and more time is appropriate to spend in daily practice of these energetics. So you become very familiar with them. Often, you'll be required to go and review some of past teachings from Seeding the Divine. And that will help you because a lot of those teachings, especially in the last two or three years, were geared to allow you to step into this master series. So they are foundational concepts. And as we move forward in these sessions, you will find that you are having to review some previous things because everything that we have been taught conceptually and energetically in the last 5 or 6 years, and even before that, some of us in Mastering Alchemy, is being expanded upon. Every point along the way has been expanded upon. And this will continue to bring in an unbelievable state of consciousness that will be supported in our new crucible. So with that, Milena, do you have anything to say before we take any questions or comments?
Well, let's go ahead and start with questions first.
Okay.
Anybody?
You'll have to unmute yourself in order for us to hear you.
I have a quick question, maybe to start out with. We've kind of glanced over the fifth triad, and I'm wondering if there is going to be more chakras included with the fifth triad.
I cannot answer that because they just keep telling me and have been telling me for several months that that will be activated at some point this year. It will be opened. It won't be fully activated, but it just is a massive energetic state of consciousness relating to Christ consciousness, which I don't believe we fully understand what that is. And we always, the majority of us coming from Christian backgrounds, relate that back to the life of Jesus. And that is not what it is at all. I mean, there's pieces and parts of that, love and unity and those types of things. But exactly what chakras they entail, what they are, I could not say. I don't know. Milena, do you have any input on that?
No, exactly what you said. They haven't told us this. You know, Joan and I have said to you several times since we began, how she and I receive information now is completely unlike any way we've ever received in the past. Mm-hmm. And you might be interested to know that in between sessions, Joan, I don't remember the last time we actually channeled the council. It's been, you know, in between sessions because it's not what we're all being, we're us to be stepped up into our mastery. And we're all part of this massive council of 12. And so the different streams we need, they give us what we need or drop a hint. And so we know that's kind of the next thing that we need to be focused on. But then Joan and I have to get together to kind of flesh it out between the two of us, you know, what in what order, what comes. And as far as the fifth triad, other than knowing it's coming, that's all we know. and they don't tell us a whole lot. I mean, they don't tell us really anything. She and I have to, that, you know, that download, that seed is planted, and then we have to figure out how to create it and what has to come from that. So again, you're going to hear us say it many times. She and I are still going through this learning curve ourselves. We can't even explain to each other how we receive it. It's how difficult this is because it's just so completely different. And Joan, because she is a conscious channel, it's really different in her space. Well, it's still different in mine too, but it's still different. But it's different in different ways. Does that make sense?
Well, it's still, you know, my clairaudience still very much functions, and I can hear in a quiet meditation. If we're trying to organize a teaching, but they told us early on that we don't need their approval of anything, that we are part of the whole of this council, which is related to an ascension process. So I think part of it for me is not being able to receive that being or a triad of beings through my body, where they actually use my body and my voice. I don't think that is appropriate. I don't think my body could withstand that type of energy at this point.
Yeah.
So we're having to receive it through our consciousness. And that's what I am thinking it is. It's through our consciousness, and that our particular stream of consciousness that adds to this council and our purpose. Our prime directive is really key in the way in which this information is received.
Thank you.
Wow. Great. If I might just add that we're in the process of transitioning from this languaging that we use to communicate in words and sound currents and so on to telethought. You know, as Joan's saying, that consciousness transmission is our new way of operating, and we were participating in the plasmic reality in our last session, you know, in completely new territory, if you will, for us. And so with all of that in play, it's kind of going to be interesting, because we're all breaking ground as trailblazers individually and collectively to figure out, you know, how that goes. So,
yeah. And each one of you have your own, you know, an individual, you have your prime directive, and you have your own stream of consciousness that you bring to the whole. So after we get these foundational energetics put in play and the expansion where it needs to be, you know, you'll be called forth to share what that is. And you'll know it. You can't, these things you can't rush. You know, you can kind of see out into the future a little bit, but things change. Oh, yeah. They're constantly assessing where we are and before they really push any major change. So now it's just constantly upgrading what we already have. So are there any questions around the topic of the Merkaba and our Merkaba field, how it's operating when we're in meditation or quiet time at now at 150%, which really promotes a state of consciousness. And sometimes the body really has a hard time with that. So, but is there any difficulty in any of you in understanding what has been given around that particular thing? Or if you have something to share about what you've observed.
Yes, I have a question. This is Mary Beth. Uh-huh. Okay, so the three tetrahedrons are the same size, mm-hmm. and they're on the same axis. Are they, it seems like it's just one big one. Are they superimposed on one another?
Well, they say that, I mean, they've told us that they spin on the same axis.
Right.
So in my, I try not to get in my rational mind about it because then I get really confused. But
yeah, me too.
If you want to think about it as that it's like layered and they spin together. And then two of them span in counter-rotating fields. So for me to get my rational mind in that is not productive.
Yeah, not me either.
When they're spinning together as a unified field, all you see is one big field spinning. So
That's what I've seen. So it doesn't seem like they're really separate.
Well, they're not. Well, we had to build them piece by piece, right? And in those first two classes, we had to upgrade them and we had to kind of slow it down and then go back in piece by piece to upgrade each section of it, each segment of it. But then then we put it back into motion again at that 140-150%, then this whole blended field. So it operates as one. It's kind of like your engine. You've got all these parts in your engine. You know, and you may have to fix and upgrade a piece, but when you put it back together, it makes everything, you know, work coherently together. So that's kind of how I feel it is. And I know when some of you are posting your questions on Facebook, which we do appreciate, by the way, the little voice was saying, we're not done. You know, we've just now upgraded to this point. So there is more, but we have to acclimate to this. And, you know, and the reason we focus so much on those first two classes on this and upgrading it is because we knew the crucible was going away. So this was upgraded. So each of you, you know, had this, your own field to help hold all the collective of everything together while we're waiting for the new crucible. Mm-hmm. So.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
This is Peggy. I might be a little bit off topic because I've been trying to unmute myself and Kimberly just allowed me to come in. So along the lines of sharing, I just want to say how much I appreciated John Carroll's last post on Facebook where he talked about the different dimensions and, you know, we're talking about the rational mind and what he shared. I thought that really helped me out. Information, or I don't like that word information, but the knowingness is coming to me in new ways too, which I can't explain, but rather than information, which sounds very data oriented, I think I'm going to use the word knowingness. So in our effort to relanguage. And then also, I'll wait till later. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy.
This is Charlotte. I have a question or a clarification, I guess, is what I'm more looking at. And again, I'm not sure if it's the languaging and the moving in and out of the, you know, but mine was when we had arrived and we were told to exit our Merkaba. Now, what are we exiting? Are we exiting the tetrahedron, that's the white one and the purple one? Because the star tetrahedron of my Merkaba that I set up and has been with me for over 30 years, because I set that back up with a class that I took the Flower of Life with Drumbel Melchizedek somewhere in the 90s, that I never exit that. That has always been with me. It's been in different operating states. So what are we exiting?
Melina?
Good question.
I mean, most of the time I feel more like I've powered down the Merkaba after I've arrived, and I'm moving my consciousness into my light body in order to, you know, go do what we're going to do.
Right.
I really don't exit it.
Not really. Yes, because we are moving into our light body. So it was basically we were projecting our light body, you know, into that field in order to emit that prime directive. But again, you know, to try to avoid so much confusion, you know, we try to use the limited language that we have, because you know the Merkaba for me is the extension of our light body. I mean, it's the building. It's all becoming one, and so it's just like it when we used to go to Sirius. Remember, we used to dock. We go to the docking station, and then we would go into the Temple of Transparency. You know, so it for me was kind of the same sort of similar.
Yeah. Okay. So that's languaging. It's how do you arrive? I call it shift gears, you know.
Right. Right.
And then proceed. Because right.
In some of this,
I've been flying around with this a lot longer than many of you. So I'm not sure who has what skill sets or if it's. Everybody has done this before in our group. It's just like riding a bicycle. What do you remember?
Right. And
how did you function? I call it, because I'm so technical, I'll put it into a language of a mode or an operating, you know. And that was also part of what I saw as we were running in what I call the mode of a hovercraft, because we never really went to the point of going fast enough to put our wings out. But most of the time we have traveled within the Merkaba as a group. And this is the first time we were sent out individually to arrive at a point. And that was my second question is where, when you said put in the coordinates for the portal, where did we get the coordinates from? Did everybody automatically have their holographic map come up inside their Merkaba so that they could pick the coordinates? Because what I had been left with was that the etheric crystal was in Lake Wachita, which is near Jesseville, which is quite a bit of difference in distance between where Joan and John live, because I've driven that. So I had a, you know, mental point of reference where many people did not. And so now that portal may be different and larger, but how do we get our coordinates? Is that just something, again, that's going to pop into your head? It does for me. I don't know how other people are functioning.
Well, they're coordinates that were downloaded from the Council of 12.
Okay. But did all of us have that?
All of us received that. Absolutely. Yes, we did.
Because you are part of this
collective.
But I think there's a confusion in your space about the etheric crystal. It is not in Lake Washita. The green crystal of love has shards in the bottom of that lake. The etheric crystal from Andromeda is in this lake, Lake Balboa, and it started off in a little cove, that where it began to open under the guidance of the four archangels who oversee it. And it has grown miles. This is a 1,000-acre lot, lake. It has grown tremendously, miles and miles beyond this lake. It has been very successful in conjunction with our group, by the way. We have to realize, as a group, we have done a lot of things in the last 5 years. It has grown in and entered into that one, that bottom layer of the crystal grid. The whole purpose of that was to clear the two layers that were contaminated. So it is extended miles and miles into the crystalline grid, that first grid, to clear out the distortions of poverty and separation and all of those things. And we are now able, through the interface of that etheric crystal, to reach that second level that has much fewer distortions in it. So there's still clearing to be done, but it is through this crystal grid of the earth is expanding with every level as we are consciously able to help facilitate that.
Going back to Charlotte's first question, thank you for actually asking that, because it certainly has bothered me also. And the way I've dealt with this language dilemma is to keep the rational mind happy, is to make the distinction between the Merkaba as a vehicle and the Merkaba as a field of light. So yes, I think we're all of us are always in our Merkaba field of light, and we are getting training wheel lessons on using it as a vehicle. So rather than exiting the Merkaba, I simply stop using it as a vehicle. So
right. Switch its
more. That would help. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mode of operation. Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate both of your comments, because like we said, language is very limiting. And there was a lot of misunderstanding, I think, within our group, the difference between the Merkaba vehicle and the Merkaba field, the field of unity. It's a massive field of consciousness. Mm-hmm. That extends from us, from our life body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and because I'm so connected with the crystal grid, whenever we're told to go somewhere, that's just, you know, that's a given for me.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of people from all over the world that maybe don't have a physical visual of that, which I have, or the crystalline grid, I call the ding on my radar map. So I just wanted to help other people depending upon how that's coming up for them.
Right. Well, you know, we don't know these things come up until somebody says, and if nobody
in my Merkaba, when it's in vehicle frame, when it's kind of like a pilot, you got to, you know, tell them where you're going. You know? And so I call it ETA, you know, and so as soon as you want to do that, for the computer, there's a whole holographic of wherever you say you want to go, you know? So if we're saying we're, you know, going to the Pleiadian star system, it comes up with that map and the, you know, kind of like MapQuest, you know, what you're supposed to take. And so I'm so used to just stating where I want to go and have it come up, hit the button, you know, you just tap the screen and, you know, the program for the coordinates and everything goes in, and, you know, it's you're good to go.
Well, I think that clarifies that for everyone.
Learning to, you know, and especially when you're doing that in such learning to do that from these higher speeds, which put you in such an altered state. And yet this is all, you know, unaltered state. This is all an energetic field that you're working with. It's not the solid physical vehicle like our cars. But it still is some of the same concepts of a function. It's like I think of the changing of my speed in the different layers, just like that lever you have in the boat when you want to get the boat to go faster, you know, power it up, power it down. That helps keeps my rational mind occupied and my state of focus in the present.
You're asking about the coordinates, and I'll tell you, they were very non-committal about where that new crucible is being created. And so they wouldn't tell me, they wouldn't, when I asked, you know,
well, that wasn't the coordinates we were looking for. The coordinates was about the etheric crystal.
The coordinates were, well, no, they were actually to take us where we were going to where the crucible was. And the coordinates.
That's not what the statement was.
Right. Well,
the coordinates to go to the etheric crystal, then through that, then when we were being led and we're doing the
exactly.
They're not going to give you that because it's way beyond our brain to even understand it.
Yeah. So they wouldn't answer me. All they would say is, well, where do you think it is?
Yeah. If you haven't traveled those types of Stargate portals and stuff, that's new to most of you. It's not for me. But if you're going with a group like that, then you stay with the group.
Right.
And that's what they were doing, because most people, they wouldn't, and it would require a different mode and a different layer of knowledge. And you stated it, that we'd be going through things, we'd be at a high speed, we're going to make directional changes. It's pretty much follow the leader and, you know, don't go off on your own. Well, and stay, you know. I know for me, I have to really pay attention, because I will jump the lead. And if I'm in the middle, I don't want to run anybody over, you know. It's be polite in our whole, you know, because there's a whole group of us. And
I ask a question in here? Clarification about what you just shared, Charlotte, and make sure I understand this, the Merkaba part.
Just mute yourself, Kelly.
Sorry, thank you. I'm seeing myself as my Merkaba as the inner circle, I'll say, and then there's the Merkaba field of light as a bigger circle around that, if you will. So I'm seeing it like an onion, sort of like in layers. Is that sort of follow what you were saying, Charlotte, or is there another piece to that?
No, that's what it's saying. And it also changes as you put it in your different modes of operation. As we put ourselves in those different spin layers of speed, different things become available.
Okay, so the inner Merkaba is our, I'll think of it as like my personal home. It's always mm-hmm. with me. Mm-hmm. And when we travel, through the field of light, the Merkaba field of light in our personal Merkaba.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Still in your personal Merkaba, but you've expanded that into a vehicle that can then travel.
Okay. And then we never really leave our inner Merkaba.
No.
What we're leaving is the bigger layer of onion, if you will, that's allowing us to go other places.
You basically power it down because you're creating that field. It's not somebody else creating that field and you're stepping into it. It's your field.
So I don't think about any of this generally. I just say, okay, fine. This is what they said to do. I just do it. I have no clue how it's being done. And as we get into these conversations about understanding how it's being done, I'm kind of like Joan. It's like, okay, now I'm kind of like my brain. It can't figure out how that's supposed to work. So I think I'm just going to say, I just have it and I just do it. And that's good enough.
Well, I think your unified field is part of who you are. It was established through the functioning of the Merkaba. Mm-hmm. But the unified field is you. Your light consciousness, the vastness of who you are that you don't remember. That's the way I process it. And I think everybody is unique in that. But But, you know, most importantly, I don't think those of us who don't have a real scientific mindset, the rational mind isn't going to serve them here.
This is Anne. I have a comment. The way I think of it is, like, I can drive a car without knowing how the spark plugs work.
Right.
There you go.
Exactly. So, I could.
Yeah.
As long as I work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of,
that's got to know it all.
Speaking of spark plugs, I want to share when you mentioned in the opening meditation about the impact we all have. I was right behind a head-on collision on Friday. That was really bad, and all four of them walked from it. It was just incredible. And there was a young family in the car with a toddler and two parents, like in their mid-20s. And I just wrapped my arms around the mom, and it was just right place, right time for me, in such a wrong place, wrong time for them. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Anybody have any other comments or questions about the Merkaba or the unit?
I have one question. This is Kazuko. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Kazuko.
Hi. Back to the first star tetrahedron. I feel always, you know, everything is moving, everything's spinning. And when I read, I think that's one of the answer to the, you know, the spinning questions. The first star tetrahedron, it's not moving. It doesn't move, it said. And I just, you know, isn't it always moving? Everything's spinning and moving. That's how I still feel the upper and lower tetrahedrons moving and spinning, and it, together it's very stable. That's how I feel.
Exactly. And
so that's my I'd like a clarification for that.
Hi, this is Susie. Could I ask one more?
We got to answer this other one, but ask yours and then we'll do it.
Well, I'm sorry. You can go ahead if you like.
No, go ahead. Ask the question. Maybe it's related.
Okay. When we brought in the prime directive into our three star tetrahedrons, my thoughts have been, where does the our divine blueprint? Is that our divine blueprint as well, or is our divine blueprint just for what we create for each life?
Okay. I think the prime directive, personally,
let's answer Kosko's answer first on one subject and then go.
All right.
I'm sorry, did I interfere? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that as a unit, in the Merkaba vehicle, it's a vast spinning because that's what generates the energy. But I think when they early on, you know, the top part of the star tetrahedron spun one way and the bottom the other, and it was the merging of the masculine and feminine. Well, that couldn't happen until the descent of the Holy Spirit and certain time locks were unlocked, because it wasn't available until those time locks were unlocked. But anyway, it's the stableness of who we are in that.
Yes.
But the whole field spins.
Yes, I understand the whole field spins. But the first, okay, so in my mind, second, white star tetrahedron and the purple star tetrahedron, they spin counterclockwise and counterclockwise. And that, I understand it's together, it's whole, you know, the spin. And the first star tetrahedron, to me, it's all also, you know, also spinning together, but not, you know, counterclockwise and clockwise. So, I mean, clockwise. Anyway, so that's together, I feel this, you know, it's, I don't know, it just feels like it's everything spinning all the time.
Yeah.
So that's,
I'll answer that. The inner one for me still keeps its two-directional spin, but the thing is, it's spinning stably. That's why it's all about stableness for that inner one.
The white one and the purple one, the
whole unit spins different directions. Those two together create enough, help create that field. And so, but they're all spinning on the same access point so that you have the stability. It's kind of like, refer to the engine. You got to have some of those parts spinning inside that engine in order to create the energy to drive the car. So we're creating these spins in our field to create that.
So are you saying that also then the first starter tetrahedron?
Mine spins top and bottom, opposite each other.
That's how I feel. Or it's more, I feel that it's right. That's all. You know, I don't see it.
What has helped me here, because I think we're trying to use our rational mind and our languaging for something way, way, way beyond it. So and what has helped me is considering that the inner star tetrahedron is a whirling vortex, a multidimensional, stable whirling vortex that reflects what we are in a very personal way. So it has all sorts of motion because we know everything's in motion. And then we've been given the visual in words, that the outer two are counter-rotating. But I think this is just the beginning of our understanding. And as we live with this and work with this and travel with this vehicle, we'll understand it viscerally, whether or not it's a physical visceralness or, you know, one of the more subtle levels of our physicality, and we won't have English words for it. But for me, if I just see the inner chamber as a whirling multidimensional vortex, and around it, I realize that at least part of the motion is two counter-rotating star tetrahedrons, then for now, maybe that's all we can do.
I want to add something to that. For me, I tended to say, okay, it goes counterclockwise, clockwise, and but in at the what I got was leave it alone, because I will tend to go, well, you need to go this way, because each of those has their own intelligence and it knows what it's supposed to do. We don't have to do anything. You can just, you just have to observe it and know that it is in a stable, coherent, functioning part of who you are. And so that was the guidance I got, because I always wanted to put my finger in it and go, okay, it has to go this way, it has to go that way. It doesn't matter, because it has its own intelligence. It knows what it's supposed to do. And that has been the biggest freedom for me, to be able to let it be what it is. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you. I agree with what you just said, and you know, and kind of playing off this discussion and what Brother John wrote the other day, which was quite beautiful. You know, I feel like what the Council of 12 is asking us to do now is to really get out of our rational mind and start to feel this stuff.
Yes.
And not try to figure it out.
Feel Amen. It. Amen.
Yeah. And you know, feel what's going on in your body and around you, And that's what I feel like is the call right now.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
The special mind's going to get in the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see if I keep it.
I'm going to have to leave this discussion. I'm sorry. We have something to say about that.
I was just going to add. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I was just going to add that when we were first introduced in MA to the. Oh gosh, okay. Where there were two pyramid shapes that were flat on the bottom together, and we were asked to be in that shape and feel what it feels like to be in that shape, that geometry. I forgot what the name of it was.
Our tetrahedron.
It's not a star tetrahedron.
The octahedron.
Octahedron. It was the octahedron. Well, that was new for me, so I thought, well, I wonder what it feels like to walk around in that configuration. And I was in a, you know, we had raised our consciousness up to a certain extent, and it was all new, and I thought, oh, I'm going to fall down in this thing. Uh-huh. Well, it was like a gyroscope. It functioned perfectly. And the feel of it was, oh, wow, I'm not going to bounce off walls. I'm going to be totally stable in this vehicle. But point on top, point on bottom, you know. So that was very, to go along with what Randall said and everyone else was saying about feeling it, that mm-hmm. helped me when we were building our Merkaba to realize, oh, same kind of thing. Energetics are like a vortex, you know, counterclockwise and clockwise, and feel what that feels like. And in the inner first star tetrahedron, it is stable in that motion. It's comfortable. And we can travel in that. So that's all I wanted to add. It's like a gyroscope.
Yeah. Final comment so we can move on.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, you can't figure this out. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we're going down the rabbit hole.
yeah, exactly. So
it's all about feeling.
You are all divine beings. That's what this is about. It's about reaching that clarity, reaching that beingness, and discovering that you are God. That's the spirit in you. And so when you talk about your prime directive, it will become apparent. Just be who you created to be.
That's good.
Thank you.
And I'll end it, you know, by just make it short and sweet like that.
No, that's great. Thank you.
I think we should move on to our next point on the agenda, which was the prime directive, because there was some confusion around that. So let's delve into that. Are there people in our community here that still are confused about that?
I'd love to start by, maybe I should let somebody else go first, because I want to talk about what I think my prime directive is and how I'm experiencing it. And some of it is uncomfortable and I don't know what to do with it. So why don't I let somebody else answer your question, and then I can say something after that.
Okay.
I have a question.
Hey, yeah. Ginger.
Hey. I didn't mean to stop my video. Anyway, my prime directive, is it just for me, or are there others in our group that could also share the same prime directive, or is it just unique to me?
Well, yes and no. It is unique to you because you are a individuated expression of source, and no one expresses the way you do. So let's just take an example, and I'm just going to make this up, okay? Let's just say your prime directive was be beauty, okay? So yeah, there could be four or five people in this group or more that have received that same prime directive, but it would be expressed very differently through each one of them. So let's just, and I'm going to pick on a couple of you. So let's just say Rosemary, that was her prime directive. Well, Rosemary's a fabulous artist. So perhaps she, one of the ways that she can bring beauty into her world is through her art. And maybe someone else brings it in through the beautiful person they are. How many times have you said that about somebody? Oh, what a beautiful person they are. So, you know, they're emitting that frequency. So how it emanates from you and how it informs how you move through your life is a very unique, personalized experience. And I could go on, but I want to get to your questions if anybody else is not clear, because I think it's important, because your prime directive is the single most, and I've said it before, and they've said it before to you, it's the single most important piece of, it's a single most important gift we have been given and could have been given in a human body. And it was imprinted in your soul, on your soul spirit at that point of creation. And you have carried that same prime directive through every incarnation, wherever you have been. And if anyone doesn't remember it, exactly what they said was in the conference when it was given, this imprint has been your prime directive in every incarnation, every mission and assignment that you have ever accepted, in every universe, star system, every galaxy, in every time sequence since your soul was given the breath of life. That's huge.
Very
huge.
That's a great explanation.
I'm Sharka. I would like to add to what Malena just said, that I have experienced also beauty, like what she was describing. And then, because I know it's more than this one word which I'm receiving, and also there were other words which I have received, the difference I see is that it's connected with the other words. Like, for example, with me, the beauty is connected with also kind of with sacred geometry. And this one else, like Malena was explaining, have some different perception about beauty. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
And we were given a very simple directive in that 2020 conference. And then when we did the review last October, and when we went back into that space, we were given the opportunity to ask Source if there was anything more that could be given to us at that time that we perhaps could not hear when it was first given to us. And Randall made a point on the Facebook page that for him, he's beginning to see now how that is expanding. And as we keep on this path and bringing in all these other light frequencies and expanding our consciousness, the meaning of that, I think, is going to amplify so much more, because what it means when it was given to us at that time and what it's going to mean when we start playing in that seventh and eighth dimensional realms more frequently, I believe it's going to be much difference, and its application will be much difference, and how it guides you will be. But that's what I believe. But questions?
I put on the this is Anne. I put on the Facebook page about this incarnation at this point in time, and I meant to say, and all the other ones too. Just say.
You can only express it one incarnation at a time. You know,
right?
You've been around the block a few times.
Totally.
That's not funny.
Well, I would like to add that it is not stagnant. It is ever expanding. So as we go through this session, it expands, it grows. It is the base is there, but it expands. And that is very freeing to know that it doesn't change. It just expands and just gets funner, and it is more, you know, nothing is stagnant in this world anymore. So I like expand.
Well, it's unlimited in its potential.
Unlimited, expanding and limited. Yep. Love that word too. Thanks,
Kimberly. I think for me, when I first received my prime directive, it was one word. And then as I worked with it, or I built an awareness of it and thought about it, and especially in that review, when Milena led us to hear things we didn't hear, because the energies were really expansive in the first time that it was brought in, I began to hear other words. Mm-hmm. And that kind of grows as you let your ego get out of the way, because your ego will say, well, that's just your imagination. You can't go there. You have to allow it to unfold right before your eyes, because that is who you are. And that's why you volunteered for this mission.
I think one of the other keys that it's important here is to really trust what we're receiving, and that's another part of keeping the rational mind out of it. Trust yourself. That's part of being a master. Trust what you're getting.
Right.
Yeah, I add to that, and I totally agree with you, Joan. Mine was like, well, one, two words, you know, and I could look back in my childhood and see that I had that same, you know, those two words were always, they were there. And then they expanded. Just like when you talked about the prime directive, one of the pyramids or whatever you want to call it was about love. So whatever your prime directive is, love is encased in all that. It encases all that, you know? So that just shows that there's could be many arms to this, but love will always be a part of it. Whatever your underlining mission is, love is always a mission. And it's always a divine purpose, because that's who we are.
Kelly, ask your question now?
Perfect. Thank you, Milena. That really helped me. I wanted to hear everybody else before I said something, so that helped. So what I thought I heard my prime directive was light and love, but that it quickly expanded to for me to bring light and love to the cryptocurrency and blockchain world. It was very specific. And, you know, and then if Joan says, well, this is what we've carried, you know, for lifetimes and lifetimes, well, that crypto and blockchain wasn't around. So, but the light and love, like Imitet just said, that has been something that's been with me, at least I've been conscious of since my childhood. So I have been getting more and more involved with the crypto world in a new way, and without going into a lot of details. And I've joined a new group. It's a yield farming, an investment club, we'll say. And I love the group. I bring the light and love. And I tell you, people notice it. I've gotten comments on it. And that's like, okay, but the light and love that I'm supposed to be bringing, this is what I'm hearing, but it's so specific is what it's so confusing for me, is I'm bringing it to the actual technology, not to the people involved with it. So I bring that up because when I go to these meetings, they're all, you know, Zoom calls. I have a wonderful experience. These people are so wonderful. Everybody's so giving and everybody's sharing their ideas because it's like a mastermind group. And when I come away from it, I end up not feeling very well. And I have another lady locally here that I work with who does some amazing healing work with theta healing and other stuff. And what I'm being told is I am being attacked by dark entities that are actually associated with the technology, that they're trying to somehow overtake it, whatever, bring that, you know, the dark energy from the old financial system into this new one. And my job that I'm hearing is I keep bringing the light and keep pushing that out of it. But I keep having to clear all these entities off of me, and I'm not able to do it by myself. Yeah, I keep trying.
Give me a call, Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a call, Kelly. I'm into the crypto myself, and I'm into the technology. So it sounds like I feel a little buzz there, a little connection. So definitely we should talk.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out how can I get this stuff cleared off of me so that I can keep bringing the light and love in the way that I've been asked to, because it brings me down and it's like, oh man, how am I going to get my energy back up? It was so wonderful. And then when I talked to this healer lady, she's like, oh yeah, all these entities just grabbed a hold of you after your, you know, when you were on your call, but it's not from the people. It's from these dark energies that are attacking the actual technology.
Kelly, can I say something really quick? Perhaps when you go into these meetings, you do the Zama Zama and the Yodhe Bodhe, because entities cannot attach to you because of that imprint. So they may be hovering, and if you notice them, you can go, kind of hate it for you, because I'm already, you can't mess with me, you know? That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. There it is. It's just holding that vibration. That's your vibration to hold. You have the fire. You have the light. And when you have the light, the darkness can't touch you.
Good. Try setting your frequency as well, you know, amping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I was pretty amped up, you know, because I'm so excited about it and I feel so happy about it. But I think, you know, maybe doing what Kimberly just said, I just have a little bit more intention with the power of this light, with the Zama Zamas and all that, which I say regularly, and I agree with that. And I will absolutely reach out to you, Imhotep. I'm not sure how, but I'll figure out how to reach
out
to you.
Joan, just get with Joan and she'll give you my number. You got my number, Joan, right? Well, let me give you
704-578. Oh, so actually.
Well, I'll write down Imhotep's number.
Somebody write that down. I don't have a pencil nearby.
Okay, 704-578-2025.
Debbie got it. Correct. For me. She wrote it down. Thank you so much, Imhotep. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I'd like to add some things about the Prime Directive. I had thought for a long time that it was the same as my mission, but now I'm understanding that the Prime Directive is like the underpinning of everything that that I experience and that I share with this world throughout this lifetime and all my past lifetimes. And my Prime Directive is empathy. And the minute I heard that, something, it just lined up in a timeline to show me how that has, I've experienced that throughout different lifetimes and how much trouble it has caused me as I'm continually expanding, like Kimberly was talking about, in my understanding of it. And so for a long time, I rejected myself as a kid and probably through many lifetimes because of my oversensitivity.
And now I'm understanding that that oversensitivity is a highly tuned sensitivity, which is a gift with which I can live my prime directive. And another real advantage of knowing it now is it kind of expands underneath me to know everything I need to develop and work on in this lifetime so I can better live my prime directive, such as neutrality, non-judgmentalness. Because when I'm judgmental, I can't be empathetic. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, it's just unlocked a lot of understanding in this lifetime. And it also gives me a lot of gratitude for all the experiences that I've had in my life, because based on all those experiences, I can now be empathetic to others who may have suffered the same way or who are going through things that I've gone through. And it's walking in somebody else's shoes that is really what it is, simply. And so my shoes I'm getting many pairs of shoes throughout these different incarnations, and I'm really pleased with that. And I'm very grateful that in this lifetime, I'm conscious of it now, so I can be more self-accepting.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that when we did the review and asked the question, if there's something more that source wishes to tell me about it. What source said to me was, don't forget to apply this to yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that for me, that was big.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Cool.
So what? So one thing you just said that was super important for me that I just heard you say, Peggy, that was very clarifying, is our prime directive can be the overarching thing, and our mission for this life could be like a subset of that.
Yes, and you have gifts that come along with that, mm-hmm. like sympathy, or clairvoyance, or audience.
I heard many years ago somebody say that we're like a book, and at that time I hadn't heard the word directive, but that I think now it is the prime directive, and we have all these different chapters or different lives that we've had, but we still have the same prime directive that runs through that creates the book. And I thought that was a easy way for me to understand it. And so anyway, another way to look at it.
Thank you.
This is Anne. I have something to add about the dark forces. They'll come after all of us, the light workers, the peace workers, the healers. I mean, they know where to find us. And one thing I was directed to do was to put a sphere around not only me, but my home, to protect the whole area, in addition to the light garments and the Zama and the whole meditation and the Council of 12 with their light. I mean, nobody can touch us in that magnificent light. But the sphere does seem to help bounce that dark energy back to them, keep it off me and back to them.
Right.
I always just laugh at them. You know, when they're right there and you go, wow, kind of hate it for you, and they go, oh shit, she's there, she's awake,
she's on to us.
One of the things that I learned a long time ago from William Rand when I was doing Reiki was he was suggesting that we have a sphere around us, and that when dark energy comes to us, we bounce it off the outside of our sphere and send it back to them, not as dark energy, but as love. And that has been so wonderful for me, because then I'm not increasing any dark energy when anything comes at me. But we are increasing the love, and that seems to work.
Cool. That's great. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Well,
any other prime directive questions before we move on?
I do have one. It sounds like, and I went back and forth, and as I meditate, I try to bring in, you know, prime directive seems like it shifts, but it didn't feel like it's a life lesson. What I was hearing was a like variations of what I felt like was life lessons. And I haven't been feeling that the prime directive is connected to life lessons. It's just, it's a being.
No, it's a gift to you from source.
Correct. And so I was hearing what I thought was life lessons, but it clearly isn't.
No.
It's chosen. It's not something that I've struggled with for lifetime after lifetime. And I thought, yeah, it is what you come in with as a gift, as a strength to embrace and to become. Sometimes that's challenging, of course. But okay. So just so that I have even better clarity. And I have mirrors on the outside of my energy field. I just have mirrors, and anything negative is just mirrored outward. So sometimes I have to change my mirror. Sometimes they get a little transparent to get through. But anyway, I just thought I would chime in. Thanks, guys.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay, this is Linda. It has come to my attention that what we see as negative light is just love that needs more light. And every time that we send it light, it's like instead of judging what's good, what's bad, what's negative, what's positive, we're always trying to hold a higher vibration. But if we ignore our lower vibrations, it'll never get light. And all dimensions are valid, and they're all made out of God. They're all made out of love. And you have to breathe the light back into all the dimensions. Otherwise, the planet cannot ascend. So if you are in that downward spiral space, or what feels like it is, and you know, if you look backwards, you know that you're not spiraling anywhere compared to what you used to. As you embrace it and send it light, then all of a sudden that dimension, that part of you, or that part of your whole conglomeration of all of your lifetimes and all of your experiences, suddenly can look around and can begin to see shapes in their room. It's not all darkness. And when it's like when you walk into a room and there's a nightlight on, it's not super bright, but you know you're not going to stub your toe because you can see, and you can look around and you can see there are no goblins there. There is just a stuck mode that you tampered down so deeply that you can't even, you didn't even know it was there. And just by simply sending it light, it's like you get the opportunity to just take a breath. And whenever you take a breath, you have a tendency to choose a better choice. But if we could just stop compartmentalizing what's right and what's wrong, there is no right, there is no wrong. There is only levels of light, levels of gray, and of course, levels of white, and really super high consciousness. But we aren't here to leave the planet behind. We're here to bring them up with us. And that means sending the light wherever it is and wherever you're feeling it.
Oh, I got to add to something to that really, really quick, because that's just hit the nail on the head for something that I was been drawn to do since I first learned about what a blockchain was. I want to take Kathumi's prayer and insert it in what's called a Hello World smart contract, which means it will go onto the blockchain and can never be removed. And I want to do that to every blockchain so that it brings the light in Kathumi's words physically into that, because that puts the light into that third dimension in my mind, because there's a lot of people involved with crypto that don't have higher consciousness. So anyway, that's how I was thinking of doing exactly what you just said.
I just got chills on that. So I think that, you know, in my world, that's confirmation to me that I'm on the right path, or, you know, what I'm thinking of and doing is correct. But that's just the way that I can perceive it. So way awesome. Cool.
Great. Okay. Anybody else have an outstanding question before we move on?
I do. And it's about the Merkaba. In the past, there were two spheres surrounding it, and they're not touching each other. They're stabilized. But I've noticed that ever since we started this year, they're not mentioned anymore. But I still keep mine, because those two spheres are perfect, perfect protection for my Merkaba and my light body and everything else. So is there any reason that they're not mentioned anymore?
Because we haven't gotten there yet.
I don't think they needed any expansion. The Merkaba function had to be expanded to hold our consciousness while we waited for the new crucible to be configured. So the rings around, the two spheres around it, were there to stabilize or to hold a certain vibration. And they didn't need to be expanded, because as we expand within it or are it, that holds it stably. They just move as they need to be the stabling force.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Melena, do you have a comment on that?
Nope.
Well, I think we need to move on and do our service. I think this has been a very productive, and I thank everyone who has spoken up. We're going to do more of this as time goes on, because there's a lot being given to us in a short period of time. So times like this draw us together in a more cohesive way. Not only that, it clarifies confusion and questions that you would normally say, well, I don't understand that. I'll just move that over here. Well, you can't do that anymore. So, okay.